All right, fight fans, welcome to What's on Fight, the podcast that randomly reviews some great wrestling, boxing, grappling, arm wrestling shows, pretty much anything you can find on the Fight TV app. I am Mr. Fourth Row, and I have a co-host. He is the one and only Finn Fish. Finn, since last time we were recording, what have you been fighting with?
Oh, man. a lot of bad stuff, you know, happened out here in Las Vegas, but this is not the podcast for that. We got one coming up this weekend. We'll talk about it. But other than that, nothing really. Just chilling, working, and getting ready for a lot more different things that we're going to cover on Fight. A lot of cool stuff we're going to be covering pretty soon. But today we're covering Rocky Mountain Pro Milestone 7. And we have a special guest. None other than Nick. Man, you got so many monikers. I don't even know where to start. So let's let you tell the people who you are and what you're about, man.
Well, hello. Thanks for having me on, guys, first and foremost. I am Nick. I am the owner and producer over at the Tapped Out Wrestling Podcast Network. I do host a couple shows on there as well, do interviews and stuff like that. But, you know, we just love the Fight app. We're affiliate with those guys. So it's we made the trip out for this show and I got to meet you guys and stuff, that, which was cool. So, but yeah, I mean, that's kind of who I am. Nothing super important. I always joke at everybody. There's more guys who are doing the muscle on the shows on the Tapped Out Wrestling Podcast Network. I'm just kind of the brains behind the, you know, I'm backstage doing all the editing and that kind of stuff. So that's kind of primarily who I am. But I'm just a wrestling fan. I'm 43 years old, and my first memory is a, you know, 3-year-old kid is watching wrestling with my great grandfather. So that kind of tells you how long I've been watching wrestling. So that's kind of who I am.
And tell our listeners how long where you came from to visit Rocky Mountain Pro Milestone 7, and how long it took you to get there.
I'm based just north of Atlanta, Georgia. So, I brought my daughter with me so I didn't have to make that trip alone. We did drive, which was crazy, I know. But I brought some things, so it was kind of necessary to drive, and it was a 21-hour drive. So it was a 2-day trip.
Wow. So,
man, that's wild, but it seems like it was worth it, especially for this Rocky Mountain Pro Milestone 7. And Rocky Mountain Pro as well is a big sponsor of your podcast, so that's very cool.
Well, I had had some of those guys on. I've interviewed a lot of those guys, you know, out at Rocky Mountain Pro, and when I'd interviewed Matt, we kind of promoted the Milestone 7 show by having them all on for kind of that whole week going into the show. And when Matt invited me back the first time I'd had him on, I'd become such a fan of the product that I was like, man, I got to make that trip. And, you know, couldn't miss it. And it was well worth it with all the stuff they had going on, you know, all the other events on top of it. So it's their WrestleMania. Let's put it that way, right?
Oh, definitely.
The number two wrestling show on Fight. So. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's getting up there. You know, one of the biggest promotions on Fight, so that's pretty cool.
One of the best, you know, best run promotions is kind of what I explained to Matt. I feel like they do wrestling. I enjoy a lot.
What we're here to do is to cover Milestone 7, and go ahead and start us off there, Mr. Forfro.
Okay, all right. So, just a little backstory. Like I was. Talk about in the past. Milestone 7 was held at the quarry in the Jefferson County Fairgrounds. They also had the Jeffco Fair happening at the same time. So if you were lucky enough and purchased a ticket to this event, you got to experience the Jeffco Fairgrounds too. So I got a little bit of that as well. Got to see the reptile guy. That was kind of fun there. But we're not going to be talking about that, but we're going to talk about Milestone. So Milestone 7. Both, you know, like Nick was saying, Nick and I were both in attendance. And, I mean, this was a great event. It was probably the most frenzy live event that I've ever been to. but as for the actual show, we could start off the show here with Danger Dean. He's on the phone, and he gets attacked by Trey Island, which is, you know, now one of the hired guns of the 4-Point Cartel. So, any thoughts about that there, guys?
Yeah, I didn't know why this scenario was happening. I guess I had to catch up. But right. Nick, you watched Milestone 7 on Fight as well as going to the event, right?
I did. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, which was funny because I, you know, when you saw that happen, we didn't see that.
Right.
You know, so that for a little bit, I was like, why are they, I missed this, you know, kind of thing. So, but you know, it was your typical, you know, brawl, backstage brawl, but it was actually, funny part, it was actually out front, but it was the brawl. So that's kind of what we got to start the show, which was kind of cool. Just a little segment, kind of get it, hype you up going into it.
Yeah. And then, after that, before the opening credits of Charged, we get all the highlights that are leading up to all the matches there, for pretty much all the matches for Milestone 7. So we got to see just little quips, you know, about the feuds, you know, for the Charged Championship, the Rocky Mountain Pro Championship, the tag team breakup of the Mile High Express, the Lockettes Championship. We got to see pretty much everything. So I thought they did a great job giving us a look at a lot of these highlights to get us started to say, hey, this is what's coming up on this episode of Charge for Milestone 7. So I thought that was really well done.
Yeah. Did they explain why? What was the storyline with Danger Dean? I guess he got in a match or got, because they didn't. Later on, they did not explain this at all. So, did he get in Trey's Island's way or something?
Well, you know, as far as I know, if we wanted to break a little kayfabe a little bit, I think I'm not positive. I mean, I know Danger Dean, you know, somewhat as a friend, but I think maybe he just had a scheduling conflict or something that happened that he couldn't make it. So, I mean, they did mention that. This was the first time that he had missed a milestone. Nick, do you have any other information that
you nailed it? That's pretty much it. Yeah. Yes. He wasn't going to be able to be there that night, so something they could record, put it in the can, and that was why. That, you know, it's the reason he couldn't be there.
Yeah, and it's I was kind of ashamed because I get to see Danger Dean a lot at Colorado Springs Wrestling because that's where he lives, which is south of Denver. It's kind of disappointing that we didn't get to see him because he's always fun to watch. He's a very charismatic guy. So, but unfortunately, so they did a good job about being able to storyline this why he's missing Milestone this year. I know he wanted to be there if he could, but it just happened.
Yeah, which is cool because a lot of times, you know, especially when I say it, you know, when I call them an indie, they're not an indie in the normal sense, but that's kind of, you know, when I was talking to Matt, that's what he kind of described it as well. A lot of them would just blow it off and not even address it.
Right.
You know, just move on. At least they gave us a story as to why he wasn't there.
Yeah. Yeah. And there'll be there coming up just a little foreshadowing. One of the things that happened in Milestone 7 was, I'm going to take credit for it a little bit, but we'll get there. That why they had the storyline a certain way. So, but we'll get there in the future when we run down the card here. So our first match that we had was the Man from the Lemonade Stand, Manny Lemons, tagging up with Dallas Murdoch versus two cool dudes, Dustin Urich and Zero Cool. So that was our starting match. Nick, any thoughts about this match?
I mean, it's a good. You always want to start it off. Tag team matches always start a pay per view event, whatever you want to call, you know, off really well because there's usually lots of action. You get both guys, you know, all four guys going, kind of gets the crowd going up pretty well. And I thought they did a really good job to kind of hyping it up and getting started. I'm a big fan of, you know, Manny Lemons. We've had him on, and he's an awesome guy.
Yeah,
I wish. But the best, but I mean, he just, you know, it was a great match. I mean, as far as just kind of get everybody started and get them going.
Finn?
Yeah. I've seen Manny Lemons plenty of times, but Two Cool Dudes, that's a cool name. Yeah, like you say, good opener. But I do like the, I never heard of Two Cool Dudes before, but this is a cool little gimmick they got.
Yeah, and they you know, what I like about them too is their intro music sounds very similar to Pretty Fly for a White Guy. So that's kind of cool. I do love their theme song. It's kind of get you dancing and stuff. So like Nick was saying, you know, kind of get you going to warm up your vocal cords, warm up your clapping for the rest of the card.
Can I throw here, by the way, I'm a really big fan of Dustin.
Yeah.
His work's pretty solid. I mean, I was watching him, and I was pretty impressed with him. And, and of course, as far as the match goes, you get the babyface win, so that kind of gets the crowd, yay! You know, like you said, everybody gets kind of up. It kind of gets the crowd up to get started for the show, so.
Yeah, and everybody does pop for Manny Lemons, because he comes out with lemons. He, it was mentioned, he was juicing up. He was taking the lemon and pouring it on himself, and pouring on everybody else and all that kind of good stuff like that. So he's always fun, and everybody loves him. We love having him visit us in Colorado for Rocky Mountain Pro. He makes the trip quite a few times every year, so it's always great to see him. Anything else before we kind of roll up into the finish of this?
No, go ahead.
Okay, so like I said, they was juiced up, gets. Like you're alluding, Nick, babyface team gets the win. Lemons hits the lemon drop for the win. And there we go. That's the very first match. So after that, we get the Hoodlum Pro Wrestling Academy commercial that we've seen many times before all season. It's great. You know, make sure that you don't call 867-5309 because that's not the right number, you tool. It's great. Hoodie is great. He's so funny when it comes to his heel persona. So it's great. So after that, just like they were doing at the beginning of the episode, we are getting the flashback highlights about the breakdown of the Mile High Express. When they won the tag team champions, and then the breakdown of the team. So they're setting up. So our next match is going to be Curtis Cole versus Humphrey Jacobs the First. Winner gets complete control of the tag team championships. Nick, what do you think about, any thoughts on this match?
This was probably, for me, one of the most heartbreaking matches to watch. because I'm actually a fan of both guys. Curtis is a one in a million. I tell everybody as far as personalities go. But Humphrey Jacobs is from my area. I mean, he's from the Stone Mountain, Georgia, which is about 15, 20 minutes from where I live. Right. And he's a Georgia guy, and I love old school wrestling, so I kind of love that persona. But so it was a tough one for me to swallow. And to be honest with you, I interviewed both of these guys heading in to this show, and I'm a fan of both. And I told them, both. I was like, it breaks my heart this match is even happening, that they couldn't get along and, keep those titles for a longer period of time. I thought they made a great team.
Yeah. And maybe a little bit quick on from when they won the championships for the breakdown, because they won it towards the end of season one. And so they went the whole season. So might have, in my opinion, maybe might have been a little better to, maybe have them hold on a little bit longer for storyline. I mean, they kind of went fast and furious with the breakup, with the live events and with charged tapings too. So that's just kind of my overall thoughts. Finn?
I like the feud. We had Curtis Cole on once. He's wild. He's a good dude. But I like this idea. One thing I didn't get is maybe they should have had the partners already selected. If Humphrey Jacobs the First they should have the representative of who they wanted to be their actual partners, instead of now they have, he has to hunt for a partner. Yeah. Maybe have those guys ready at ringside cheering their guy on so they could be the tag team champion. But that's part of the storyline down the road.
Right, yeah. That's what I was going to say. Maybe on the flip side, season three, maybe that's something they're going to storyline out.
I had a great idea when thinking about this. What if Humphrey Jacobs debut, you know, season three starts, and he just throws the tag titles down and go, I don't want any part of these tag team titles. I'm not a tag wrestler. I want to be a single Rocky Mountain Pro Championship, and just toss it aside. And he only did it so he could do it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well. I was like, because at first he didn't even want the tag. He said, I'm going to go after the singles gold. He was just stuck in his tag team. I think I seen a vignette like that. I was like, okay. Then he beats Curtis Cole, and he's like, I just wanted to beat you. Here's your tag team titles. I don't care. And he goes after the world title or wherever, the charge championship. But good match. I liked it, though.
Yeah. And one thing I was going to say, because, if what you were saying, Finn, if they picked a tag team partner, I would definitely be willing to be Curtis Cole's partner, because I did get to stand in the ring one time holding his belt. So that was kind of fun when we did the birthday celebration for me. So that was kind of fun. Other than that, any other thoughts before we just kind of hit some of the highlights of this match?
Yeah, go for it. Okay. Yeah, I'm good.
All right, so we got Curtis Cole gets the jump on Jacobs before the match starts. As Humphrey was in the ring posing and stuff, he got the jump on him, tacks him. Match starts off actually with some great shots on the outside of the ring. When they finally make it back into the ring, the match is on and is official. The bell rings. So just kind of a little normal back and forth. Cole did hit the blockbuster, but the blockbuster, I should say. But Humphrey Jacobs did roll out of the ring right after that happened. They did make their way back into the ring, and Humphrey Jacobs the first hits the old style driver for the win, and he is, as you guys were alluding, the sole control owner of the tag team championships. So. And I agree with you, Nick. It was kind of a heartbreaker because I do like both the guys. Curtis, though, is a little more in my heart just because of I had him do the happy birthday thing to me. And I, of course, met him a few times. That's just my thoughts. Anything else, Nick?
I agree. I mean, Curtis Cole, bar none, is one of the most down-to-earth, guys that you're going to meet, and a super nice guy. I'm torn between the Curtis Cole, that's the guy that, but let's be honest with you, and he's going to laugh probably when he hears this. Curtis Cole is an overachiever, as far as the wrestling. I mean, everybody told him he wasn't going to be anything, and look at him now.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But Humphrey Jacobs is the reverse. With him, I look at him and go, he's got all the tools to be the old school work. This match was very old school. Let's be honest with you. I mean, it was very old school, and it screamed a Humphrey Jacobs match.
Yeah.
And I really, really enjoyed the match as a whole. And honestly, for where they're going, I probably would have to say the right guy won. So that's.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just a little bit of a rat hole or a side note here. Curtis Cole is making a lot of appearances in Colorado Springs Wrestling, and he's a heel down there. And it's very weird because I was talking to him about this. I said, it's very weird because all the faces that are up here in Denver are heels down in Colorado Springs, and the vice versa is happening. And so it was very strange for the first time for me to see Curtis as a heel. And I talked to him after the match, that particular one, and he goes, I don't know how to do it because I've always been a face. So it's very cool to see. Finn, as you remember when where we met the All Wrestling Week in Review, how the host, Dan Cannon, was telling, if you're going to make it in the business, you need to know how to be bi. And that's being a face and a heel. So you can make the changes and prolong your career and get into a lot of storylines. And I've seen the progression now with Curtis doing the heel down in Colorado Springs. he's got it. He's got it down. He's just for everybody to know, he's kind of like a chauvinist, kind of a male chauvinist a little bit down there. So it's kind of fun. Nick, did you meet Angel, his girlfriend?
Yes.
Okay. So she's down there helping with that story.
I'm going to tell you a story off air that I want you, because I don't know how much kayfabe we want to break on the thing. But yeah, she's super nice. The shots, I'm sure, because you follow Curtis on Facebook, by the way. I mean, you've seen the baby, his son. It's awesome. One of the cutest babies you'll ever meet on the planet. But But, you know, I want to tangent real quick off of something you said that's absolutely 100%. Because one of the things that I try to do a lot is I try to go to, like, wrestling school, seminar, you know, that kind of stuff to see and talk to the guys who work. Because, I mean, I always tell I don't know if you guys, I mean, I've never wrestled a day in my life. I've never, you know, I've never worked a match, anything. But, you know, to say Curtis Cole needed to go to Colorado Springs, he needed to work heel, he's got to work, you know. That's the business. If you're not traveling and you're not going to other promotions and learning different styles and techniques and learning how to work baby, learning how to work heel, vice versa, all the above. I don't know if you guys know that because our worlds collided. There's a lot of guys from this area making their way up to St. Louis to NLW working. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of guys from Rocky Mountain Pro making the drive the opposite direction to NWL, what it's called. I'm sorry.
Right.
They're working. So it's cool. It's cool to see, which somebody we'll get to later, to see, you know, Mario Vanger there as a different name and everything. So that's just really cool.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I don't know if you know this, Nick, but they, NWL, cause we have a sister podcast here on the Trending Topics Network, the Spanish Announce Table, they're in Kansas City. We know a little bit about it, and eventually I'm going to make my way out to NWL. But their reasoning is that they have, they want a different name, different characters. So like, for example, the Left Coast Gorillas or the Howlettes there. So, and it's just to change it. No. And then of course, Mario is, Hans Ruger. So, just makes me think of Die Hard, but, so it's fun seeing, these and I think that's going to be a great surprise, even though I probably already broke it now just by saying that, see if those guys will recognize me there. So when I make the trip out there, it's only about 9 hours, so it's not too bad.
So that's nothing.
Yeah.
So if you go, Mr. Forfro, do you have to change your name? Who are you going to be?
I'm going to sit there. I guess I'll have to sit in the 24th row.
Mr. Balcony? Or?
Yeah, there you go.
All right, if we're done, let's get into the next match of the night.
Okay, the next match was this was also kind of a heartbreaker match, because I don't know who I want to win, and that is the three-way match for the contract in the Crow's Nest, and that is consisting of Filter versus Hunter Gray, the Norse Nightmare, and the Evolution, Tyler Stinson. So this is going to be a little bit of power, a little bit of maybe submission, all that kind of stuff in this match. Finn, any thoughts about this match?
At first, I didn't understand the match. Then, as I was watching the match, I could tell Tyler was going to win. I knew it. I was like, this kid's going to win. I like his look. I'm more into the mixed, you know, the mixed martial arts type wrestler, more a guy with more submissions and stuff like that. I don't want to bag on the guy. He's been on the show, but I did not like Filter in this match. I don't know. He just didn't do it for me in this match. He's involved, you know, get better ring gear, you know, something different. Wearing all black, has black hair. Hunter Graves, just a business. This guy looks. For some odd reason, I thought this was Mercury Yaden's, like, persona, something else. They're, like, built the same. It's like, what is he doing? Why is he out here? But, I like Hunter Grave as well. Just the Filter guy is not, I'm not feeling Filter anymore.
Yeah. Nick?
Well, obviously, Tyler's, and I'm gonna, no pun intended here, Tyler's evolved pretty well. Over, you know, his career, and he's starting to fly a little bit here and there, and which is kind of cool. Hunter, actually, believe it or not, I mean, I'd only seen Hunter a couple times, you know, on the show, obviously heading into the event itself, but was really impressed. And I will go, I think Filter's got a huge upswing. I just think he's really green. He's really young. Had the pleasure of talking to him at the meet and greet. He's just really young. I mean, that's just it. I think he's got a, here's the thing, and there's no pun intended here, when, you know, his size, you can't teach.
Yeah.
I mean, so right. That there's a certain natural gift that he's given, and it's his size. And when he bulks up a little more, that's probably some of the thing with the gear. I mean, to be honest with you, it's probably, you know, once they bulk him up and he, you know, he's in that gym, and I say he probably adds another 40, 50 pounds of muscle on him. Yeah, and by the way, that singlet thing's coming away. He's gonna, you know, he's gonna have no top, you know, he's gonna show it all. But like I said, you just can't teach the size. And you know, long term wrestling wise, that's an advantage he has right out of the gate. So that just kind of is what it is. Yeah. So I get it where he's at. I mean, I think he's really good for where he's at. He's just really young. And by the way, you want to talk about a tangent? Did you happen to see on the SmackDown Filter at the merch table?
No, I didn't. I was there.
I saw that
in attendance. So, because that was something was on the screen, it was a little hard to see because I was I was actually in the third row last night. Moved up one. So it's a little hard to see that, but when I go to rewatch it, I'll see as well. And, you know, a little side note, Mario and Rochelle Riveter were on Raw too this past week. So, yeah. I'll catch that
on Twitter. I tweeted out because I was like, those are some big ass guys at the merchandise table, because it was, you know, Filter, and it was, you know, Matt Yaden was there. And I was like, I don't know, when I go shopping at the merch tables, or, you know, they're usually not that big.
Right. Yeah. They would look a little odd.
Yeah, absolutely. They just stood out a little bit, just saying.
Right. Well, I know Filter for one, I know he's got a catchphrase, in the work. So when he does, start working on a little bit of like promos and stuff, I know that's coming. And, I think hopefully it was a little bit of my influence, but, we'll see that when that happens. So the match, we had a lot of, you know, with these three, we had a lot of high offensive moves in this match. One of the kind of highlights in this match was that as they were battled away from the ring to get over to the crow's nest, Stinson was on the concrete wall divider in the arena, and he leaps from there onto the crow nest, quote-unquote, leaping frog Hunter, because Hunter was on the ladder climbing up, and he then... pushes Hunter off the ladder onto Filter and grabs the contract. And so he will get the contract match here very shortly at Rocky Mountain Pro's Shocktober events.
And, okay. And do you know why they kept fighting after the match, after he won? Is it just
Hunter and Filter?
Yeah.
I'm assuming that, you know, they're going to keep fighting and maybe fight all night. I don't know.
Okay. Well, those storyline, are they just, you know, maybe someone messed up and they're just, you know, they're still going at it, pushing each other. It's like, okay, the match is over.
Well, they eventually did get broken up.
Yeah. Okay.
Nick, anything else?
Yeah, I was just saying, it's built over hostilities, probably. They were both mad they lost, and they blamed each other, and they got into the fight. And you never know. This could spill over into season three. It's a great, you know, you can kind of tease and foreshadow the feud rolling into, you know, season three. They could blame each other for not winning the shot, and therefore they, you know, continue their feud into next year.
Exactly. So after this, we get the collar and elbow commercial from Al Snow talking about you know, his passion about the wrestling business and things of that nature. I'm gonna do a little bit of a side note. Of course, Nick, you and I got to meet Al Snow at the VIP meet and greet and at the show. My personal thoughts was Al is a very nice man. I brought my friend Nicole with us to the VIP. And him and her got to talk a lot about nutrition and exercising, because she's a certified trainer. So it was very cool that he took the time. And, you know, because I know it looked like everybody at the VIP event was a little bit wiped towards the end. But it was very nice of him to take the time and converse with her. So that I really loved that, that he did that for her. So, Nick, since we're talking about that, any thoughts about the VIP meet and greet?
I had a blast. I mean, I it was, you know, just hanging out and talking with the guys. You know, Al, trying to think if you were, I can't remember if they were still there, but when Al came out of the ring, he sat there on the steps, and I just happened to be talking to Matt at the time. And so when Al sat down, he just started talking. And you want to know how nice of a guy Al Snow is? People can say whatever, you know, how, you know, anything you want to say about him. I would stand there and defend Al Snow now. Yeah. Al Snow sat there and talked to me for about 30 to 45 minutes. And it was probably about 5 to 10% about wrestling. Yeah. It was, are you married? Do you have kids? You know, just that kind of stuff. It was just a, you know, a conversation with somebody that was just about, I always joke, it was a conversation about nothing.
Right.
You know, kind of thing. So I would 100% agree with you. It was just, you know, he's a great guy.
Yeah. And he wasn't, you know, when we got to meet him, he wasn't behind the table. He wasn't sitting down. He was standing up. He wanted to, well, and of course we got to take pictures with him and Eugene as well. But he was, you know, and that always, that little fine detail sometimes will leave the impression in a fan that, you know, you're being a little more proactive. You're, you know, non-verbally reaching out to the fans saying, hey, I want to meet you. And, you know, and I appreciate you being here. So, yeah.
It was definitely worth, if there's any VIP meet for people to go do.
Yeah.
Because super accessible. They'll go out of their way. I mean, you know, to talk to you, you know, shake your hand, take pictures, all that stuff. Where, let's be honest, we say this quite regularly on our, you know, on our shows. Indie shows, you know, and non-WWE shows are the place to go because you get a lot more access to the stars and you kind of have that interaction. And it's something, especially if you have kids, they'll remember forever.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get that. Oh, definitely. You know, you know, I can't go to too many indie shows out here. Not that many. But I attend as much as I can, and I do watch a lot of them on Fight, so it works out for me as well. But let's get to this next match.
All right, so our next match, we have Jeff McAllister versus Eugene Nick Dinsmore. Everybody knows, hopefully we'll know Eugene. So, you know, great match. We start off with kind of great character thing from Eugene, and he takes off his the previously mentioned collar and elbow shirt, and does a great folding job, and then just tosses it over the ring ropes, and it falls to the floor. So it just kind of popped at that. That was kind of fun. You know, typical fun match we had here. Finn, what did you think of this this match?
Yeah, it's a little exciting match, you know, nothing really to it. Who is this Jeff McAllister guy?
He's also known as Sarge, of one of the like well known trainers, I think in the entire country. Nick, am I right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It is WCW's Sarge, right? Wasn't there Sarge that was training everyone at the at their plant? I forget the
plant. You know, it's just, this is one of those, like, Matt doing these seminars and things like that, you know, they're just guys rotating through. It's a good person to be. Most people don't realize the best trainers typically are guys who didn't make it to the top because they worked so hard. It's kind of like coaches in football. It's, you know, your best coaches a lot of times weren't the best players. Kind of the same thing. So that's kind of how, you know, Sarge was always a guy that was a real instrumental in people's training. So,
okay. I just want to make sure that I mentioned he was Sarge. I'm like, is that WCW Sarge? Or not too many people go, you know, about Sarge. But yeah, that's pretty cool, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, typical match. We do get Eugene winning the match. After the match, Eugene congratulates him, goes, young man, you did a great job, and you know, that kind of stuff. And But he wants Jeff to do the worm, and he goes attempts to do the worm, and he just kind of flops and onto the ring, and they the commentator said, "Is he humping the ring?" And I thought, "Oh my god, weird." But Eugene told him, "Yeah, it was a good try, but you failed. Fired. Get out of the ring." That was kind of fun. He did the referee Dewey Larson kind of pulled him back into the ring and had Eugene had Dewey do the worm, and Dewey did a great job. I was surprised. I don't think I've ever seen seen Dewey do it, so that was kind of fun. But Eugene starts to take off, and Dewey kind of says, no, wait a minute. They didn't come to see me. They came to see you do the worm. And Eugene was like, everybody wants to see my worm? I was like, oh boy, we're just, we're getting a little PG-13, but, you know, it's all right. So, and it was fun. Great. I got caught it on video. Nick, any final thoughts about the match, the ending of the match, so on?
It's your comedy match of the night. I mean, you know, I'm always a big advocate of wrestling's like the circus. You kind of need to have your comedy, your tag teams, your brawl, kind of everything to kind of keep everybody, you know, that's what it should be anyway, to do it right. And this is your typical comedy match slid in there. But hey, everybody came to see, you know, Eugene. They got Eugene, and they got the greatest hit, and everybody was happy at the end of the match.
Finn?
Yeah, like I said, just comedy match. I liked it, you know, something to break up the action, especially for this next match coming up. But yeah, just a regular comedy match. Good spot.
And speaking of the next match, we have Anaya, the Jannetty. So if you guys have been watching season 2, you know there's a little strife happening in the Left Coast Gorillas. And so Anaya has dubbed himself the Jannetty of the team. Great outfit. I loved it when I saw it. When he walked out, I was like, awesome. That's good. I love it. It's like, yeah. So that was looking really good. And he's facing, as they've been feuding all season long, Rolls Royce Isaacs, Mr. Money. Finn, thoughts about the match?
This is probably my favorite match of the night. This is a great match. We had Rolls Royce Isaacs on before. He was out here for Paragon Pro Wrestling. I've seen this guy wrestling a lot. This guy is, last year, this guy was your number one pick when we had our award show. This guy is, money is not even the word. This guy has it all. He cut that hair shorter. He bulked up a little bit. He has more definition. He's 100%. I think he's just waiting to get called up. This guy is ready to go. Anaya, I've never seen him wrestle too much. I wouldn't be calling myself the Jannetty at these times. But, man, he's moved into that echelon. Anaya has moved up as well. I've only seen a few of his matches. But this is a great match. I like just the story behind it. His brother didn't think he could beat Royce Isaacs. And he wanted to go prove everyone wrong that he could beat this guy, Rolls Royce Isaacs.
Yeah. Nick, your thoughts?
Absolutely, 100% agree on Royce Isaacs. Guy is money to the nth degree. I mean, you know, we all know he's been going to Japan and wrestling for DDT Pro. I mean, he's, you know, bouncing around. Rumors are he's making a little move a little further west coast. Here pretty soon, but the guy is hands down probably the best worker in Rocky Mountain Pro. In my opinion, and I agree with you, man. It's just a matter of time before the guy is probably going to get a call to move to Orlando. Because I think that's where, if anywhere, that he's going to head. For first, Ring of Honor, Japan, something like that. I think it's a style. Yeah. But he's got everything in the world that a WWE would look for. He's got the look, the work, everything.
Yeah, he's got everything, and you can see a lot of I feel a lot of his the Japanese influence on his style. I mean, Heck, it says Roy's Isaacs on the back of his trunks in Japanese. So, you know, right. Yeah. So, because I remember one of the merch ladies was asking, what does it say on your ass? And it says, that's my name. So that's kind of funny. So it was a great match. As they said, this was probably the best match of the night. Somebody called the Golden Police Department because they just stole the show. It was great back and forth. Some of the highlights towards the end, the ref gets hit and Nye takes advantage of it. Hitting with Royce with a lot of moves. But eventually roll up into Anaya getting the, I think it was called the hombre lock. And and Royce actually passes out, giving Anaya the win. So.
They call it annihilation. I did hear the hombre lock.
Yeah, the annihilation is like the shoulder, like half shoulder breaker kind of move.
Okay, then he hit it in the trench. Okay, I heard him say hombre lock. I'm like, okay, that's cool too.
Yeah. The lock is actually kind of like the submission, you know, kind of lock. Kind of like a figure four or, you know, kind of thing. Not exactly looking like it, but it's similar. So I loved it. It was great because it gave Anaya the win and it also protected Royce with the loss that he didn't give up. So that was great. Nick, anything else thought about the match?
Well, yeah? I think at this point, the good way to say it in some ways, Royce Isaac's a made man in Rocky Mountain Pro.
Yeah.
A loss on a show is not going to damage. You know, everybody still knows he is Rolls-Royce Isaac. So the next night out, he could have wrestled and nobody would have even thought about. But like you said, it takes Anaya, kind of gives him that push, gives him a little bit more of that credibility. He was on a roll. The crowd was popping. The crowd was happy. You know, he and it was on. I was surprised carrying, you know, his daughter around. You know, the whole it was a great good moment, which we'll get to later. Would soon be, you know, ruined, I guess, as a feel good moment later.
Yep. Yeah. So after that, we get another Hoodlum Pro Wrestling Academy commercial. Come to Colorado. He'll take everything you have. Take your children, must be potty trained, take your wife, must be able to cook, and so on. So after that, we get the, I believe it's the second annual Colorado Cup. It's the, Battle Royal, with a lot of people. Basically, not going to do a lot of it because it was kind of fast and furious. Every 30 seconds, somebody came in, but we started off, getting the show Dwayne Douglas and Vlad Balzoff in. Sorry, Vlad, if I'm mispronouncing you. You know, only seen you a few times, but love your work. Anthony Katera comes in. Rochelle Riveter comes in. And then this is where we get Sarge. He changed personas mid-event. So he went from a heel to a face within one match. So that was kind of cool. Tremaine Island came in, got Johnny Casanova, and then HR Nightmare, Big Vig, and they introduced him as Jason Jackson, but I think he's kind of changed his name to Bobby. But they came in as a team. I thought that was pretty cool. Then we got Queso coming in. Caden Koyama came in. Sorry, messed up that name probably a little bit. Then we got the Snowflake CJ Pricefield coming in. And then after that, we started to get some eliminations. So we got Casanova and Koyama get eliminated. And then we get Aria Aurora. That's how you say it, Stuart. Sorry, I'm bagging on Stuart. But he kept on saying Aria, and it's Aria. So I had a little discussion with Aria about that. Daisy comes in. Hazard comes in. And then shortly after that, Hazard unfortunately gets eliminated. Shortly after he comes in, they're talking about he's had hard luck in this Colorado Cup. Katiera gets eliminated. Aurora gets eliminated. Daisy gets eliminated. And then the last man in is Zuma. And soon after he comes in, This was kind of set up for probably the moment of the match. Zuma's out, but then he grabs Pricefield and walks him out through the crowd to the concrete barrier that separates the first row from the bleachers. And he gets on it, and he's scaling it just to jump back from that to the ring. And great pop, great moment for him. But then he gets quickly eliminated by Sarge, unfortunately. After that, Sarge is out. Big Vit and Tremaine Island get out. Queso, Jason Jackson are out. So after that, we have only the USA and Russia remaining. Vlad flipped out both Douglas and Riveter at the same time. Unfortunately, Riveter isn't able to hold on as Douglas does. And then Vlad tries to clothesline the show, but misses and goes over the rope. And so we have your winner, the show, Dwayne Douglas, winning the Colorado Cup. Nick, what do you think about the Colorado Cup?
It was good, steady action. I mean, I love the 30-second entrance where it was kind of a faster pace. They just nonstop. I love the big spot for the hop from the concrete block to the ring. And let's be honest, man, this is a big thing for Dwayne Douglas. I mean, because let's remember back to last year. I mean, Humphrey Jacobs won. Look where he's elevated to in that one season. And I think that's kind of, they expect big things from Dwayne as well to make that next jump. He'll be, hopefully the next big thing coming up for them. So, but I did love the action was, like I said, was just nonstop. But that's your typical battle royal, where it's just constant action. But I was a fan.
There was almost too much to watch at the time. What did you think?
I agree. Yeah. When it's when the ring's full and everybody's just, but that's, let's be honest with you, that's a battle royal for you. Any form or fashion. When you got that many people in there, it's kind of hard to watch everything going on, and you're just kind of waiting for certain people to get, so many people to get out. So then you get down to what you can process and manage. But I actually thought Big was going to be in there. I thought he was probably a favorite just with a size.
Yeah.
When he went out, that kind of surprised me. And by the way, Vlad is, super young, he's a really young guy. But I think he's got a big upswing too. I know he's doing some traveling and hitting some, multiple promotions as well.
Yeah, and I told him that I said, because we saw him, I think I first saw him at a house show, Ignition show here at the Rec House. And I was like, the first time I've seen him, and I was impressed. And I'm like, he's an up and comer. And I told him that, and he really appreciated it. So, Finn, your thoughts about the Colorado Cup, and then after that, Douglas's little speech after, and then if you're looking at our notes, my little note there. What did you think about that?
This is a great match. I guess a lot of these were the students, the Rocky Mountain Mercury Academy. So that was pretty cool. I got to see a lot of these people. Queso. I don't know, man. I don't know what he was thinking with that name. I don't like it. Queso. It's cheese. Come on, dude. It might be his initials to his name, but
it is.
Yeah, nah. If you use queso as a cheese guy, that'd be pretty cool. He likes cheese and he's a cheese grater, but queso. No, I don't think so. I like the match though. I didn't think Rocky Mountain Pro had intergender style matches, but I guess so. You can win this. I don't know what you get for winning the Colorado Cup. I mean, you get free beer at the brewery down the street. I mean, I don't know what you get with that, but I do like it. Gets everyone on the show. I didn't, and then you talk about your shirt. I mean, yeah, those shirts that Fight gave us, I should say, and then it came off on TV well. Except for there was a little kid next to you with a sign that kept blocking you half the damn time. But
that's true.
Yeah, sign for everyone.
Yeah.
Damn, that little kid was into it. But yeah, I like the match. Get everyone on TV, get everyone a little bit more money. It's cool.
Yeah. And Nick, you were saying, Dwayne Douglas, it's like with Humphrey Jacobs, it's going to be great to see how he evolves in Rocky Mountain Pro. And what's the great future ahead of him.
100.
All right, so after that, we get Jason Knoll complaining about he hasn't had a break in 12 years. And if you guys have been watching the show, he's kind of got a little bit of beef with everything and Matt Yaden and everything like that. And he's taking on the Snowman, Al Snow. So does the 12 years, no break. Al comes out, and like Al says, you know, it's not necessarily, you know, you can have the people in the palm of your hand for 4 minutes and holding up a mannequin hand. I mean, how great is that? I mean, isn't it awesome? Finn, what'd you think of that?
I liked it, you know. I don't know what this Noel was complaining about. He hasn't had a break in 12 years. You can take a break anytime you want. Or like I said, a break in the business, I imagine he's talking about. But this broke down to another comedy match. That was serious until a little later on. But
right.
Yeah. It was a good match, good reasoning. You know, hasn't had a break in 12 years, and now Snow has done it all. And, you know, maybe he thinks he could make his name off Al Snow, you know, just adding my own narrative into it. But yeah, so I liked the story until the end.
Yeah.
Then it fell apart.
Yeah. Nick, your thoughts?
I mean, you know, it's like you said. I mean, everybody, what does everybody want?
Head.
Exactly. So, I mean, he gave the fans what they wanted. And Al Snow, you know, has been doing this for a long time. And it's a lot of times with, you know, the veterans like an Al Snow. And, you know, I've heard Sean Waltman talk about it in the past. But Al, personally, I heard these words come out of his mouth. Everybody wants to see the greatest hits. Go out there, work smarter, not harder. You know, so go into the ring, give the fans what they want. And like I said, you had that whole beginning where it literally was nothing but him, throwing the mannequin head up and the crowd going wild and putting it down and that whole tease. And, you know, it's an Al Snow match. I mean, it is what it is. It's a very effective, and it's kind of like you said, it's starting, you kind of have to, I thought they did one thing about the card. I'll kind of tangent for a second, is the placement of the Eugene match between the triple threat and then the Rolls Royce and I am at it's a good break to get the crowd down for a second and then kind of bring them back up. Same thing here. You just had the Colorado Cup where there was action for, you know, the whole nonstop, and then you're like, okay, we're about to go into the match. We'll cover it a second. You'll see why the match had to kind of be placed here to kind of let the crowd rest for a second and then bring them right back up again. And so it was great placement of the match. And like I said, I mean, Al Snow, I mean, how could you go wrong, right?
Yeah. So one of the highlights in this match is Noel getting upset, and he pushes the referee Joel Gester, who we've had on the show. Joel pushes Noel back, and he falls over Snow because he's behind him. Noel tries to clothesline Joel, but Joel ducks, and Gester scoop slams Noel, and everybody is amazed, like, what the hell just happened? And so they're discussing, did you just slam him, you know, and what the heck, you know, and this and that. So Noel and Snow converse for a second. It looks like they're going to tag team up against Gessner for a second. But instead, Snow rolls up Noel for the win. And that's how we ended up. So great fun match. I agree. Great placement, because after this, we've got some of the championship matches and really intense matches happening. Finn, any final thoughts about Snow versus Noel?
Yeah, I'm surprised you made it through there without messing up.
I know.
Noel, Snow, and Joel. I was like, oh, he's gonna flub one of these names up.
No, I'm not you.
Yeah, he's just like, man, I would have messed all their names up at this point. Yeah, it was great. You know, like, I thought it was a serious match until I saw that, but, you know, it is an Al Snow match. I should have expected it. But, you know, great placement, because after this is it. We're moving into the big leagues. No more comedy. We're getting down to business. So, yeah.
And then after this, great placement, since we just had Al Snow on Collar and Elbow commercial, I thought that was great placement. Help sell him some merchandise. So support independent wrestling. Great. So, next match here on the card is we have Unholy Trinity versus Alligato for the Lockettes Championship. Nick, thoughts about this match?
I mean, when I mean brutal in a good. One of the things that I've said to Matt, I've said it to, you know, we had Allie on once, and I told her one of the crazy things about the women in Rocky Mountain Pro is they beat the hell out of each other. I mean, they don't hold back. They throw everything at each other. I almost became a casualty in this match, by the way. All that. The table spot, which we'll get to in a minute. Yeah, it was literally, I'm the guy she screamed at and told me to get the hell out of the way. That would be me. But that was a pretty cool spot, to say the least. But it was exactly what I was expecting. I didn't expect them to go in there and have a clinic. These two have had a feud that's been going on forever at this point, and that they just went in there and beat the hell out of each other.
Finn, what do you think?
Okay, look, this match was. I knew this match was happening, but this match got confusing because I thought Nanny Air Conditioning was in it, but she wasn't there. So okay. They didn't explain that off the bat.
Yeah, then, I can speak into that just a little bit if we want to break kayfabe.
No, hold on. But then, during the commentators, didn't Nanny AC hold the title last? Did Alligato beat her?
That's correct.
Yeah. See, they messed up when the commentator said, Holy Trinity had it and then lost it in between seasons 1 and 2, or last season. It was Nanny AC who lost it to Alligato in the middle of the season, and Alligato's had it all season. I was like, what? This is confusing because I know we had Nanny AC on. She says she lost it. We had Alligato on before, or you talked to her. So they had their information all out of whack. I'm a big fan because I am a huge fan of Alligato, but I'm sorry. Her outfit, nope. It looked like she was wearing overalls. In the back, I don't know if you've seen, like, she had some stripes coming up. I thought they were her overalls to her shorts, but they weren't. They were just like two random stripes. I'm like, nope. Sorry, Alligato. But yeah, the commentary just threw me out because I was trying to understand the story, but I couldn't get the story. But before they did this, they had a little, before they came to the ring, some little inserts of theirs. Yeah, I thought those were pretty cool. But yeah, the commentators just threw me out of whack. But there's a good match, though.
Yeah, and you know, I think that may be one of the risks they took because, yes, what had happened is that between seasons 1 and 2, before they started filming season 2, Allie had regained the championship at a Ignition show. And so they did mention that towards the beginning of season 2. So that's one thing that is tough, especially when Charged is on Fight TV and Ignition is only on YouTube, which I'm still pushing Matt to get, little side note, to get Ignition on Fight TV as well. So if you're not watching it completely, that can throw you off. And then in this case, may throw the commentators off with their facts. Nick, your thoughts?
Agreed. The funny thing is I'm actually a fan. I didn't think I would be when I started watching, Rocky Mountain Pro way back when. The season format, it's weird. I'm not a fan of the season format with Lucha Underground for some reason. But I like the way Rocky Mountain Pro does it. But I 100% agree because I was only watching it on the Fight app. And then I was like, I had moments where I felt like I was lost, and then in having conversations with Matt. And so he's like, oh, you really need to watch it. And so then I started watching on YouTube as well. And the pieces kind of fit a little better. But like you said, it does doing the season format and then, they're ahead. It's kind of hard for everybody if you're watching events live and then watching on the Fight app and that sometimes the events can kind of blur maybe in your memory. I know we're not all as young as we used to be, so sometimes the memory kind of blurs a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, great match, but I knew my facts and the commentators were way off. Way off of some of the stuff they were saying. But, you know, still a big fan of Arigato. Yeah.
So, yeah, some of the highlights in this match I thought was great character by Unholy Trinity is that she licked the chair before using it on Arigato. That was awesome. I loved that. Got more weapons. And then Nick was just alluding to Allie's setting up the table, goes back into the ring with Trinity and rams her into the ring post. That helps, you know, great match progression, setting her up on the table. And then we find out that cats can fly. She jumps onto Unholy Trinity on the table, pins her, gets the win, and she retains the Lockettes Championship. Anything else before one thing I was going to mention, maybe breaking kayfabe just a little bit.
No, I'm good. That's stuff for what's the name coming out, but yeah.
That's what I was getting to. Nick?
Same. I mean, it's, you know, that table spot was crazy. I mean, it was just, and to be right there and see it happen, just like, oh my God, you know, and it just, when she came and shoved that rail, and I mean, Arigato, when she's angry. She's angry, by the way. Just, it's like a cat. She just, no pun intended. She just shoved that rail. Like, get the hell out of the way. You know, kind of thing. And I'm like, absolutely. I'm out. I'm good. You know. But yeah, I really dug the ending. But let's kind of go back to what I said earlier. The Lockettes of Rocky Mountain Pro have no fear of literally just beating the hell out of each other in their matches. Yeah,
that's true. So, you know, so we get after this, Nanny AC. As you guys have been watching, they're trying to be buddy-buddy, but now they're kind of like a little bit on the outs. So she rushes the ring and kicks the cat and tells her that she's coming for the title. And as you can see, she's in a sling. So breaking kayfabe just a little bit, which I don't think is too much of an issue, is unfortunately, when we were talking to Titus Machiavelli on the show, you know, this originally was a triple threat match when they first originally announced it. Unfortunately, Nanny AC had another wrestling event she went to, and she broke a collarbone. And so she, unfortunately, you know, there's no way she's going to make it back in time for it. But I had mentioned to Nanny AC that, you know, just a little, it's like, I'm hoping that you can maybe at least do a little bit of storyline to kind of keep you in there a little bit and do something a little bit safe. So I'm hoping that maybe this was a little bit of my influence. I mean, not hoping, but it might have been a little bit of my influence. So it was great to kind of see Nanny still be in there and kind of setting up great things for season 3, possibly. Finn?
Yeah. I mean, I like to at least let her come out and explain a little bit of her story, because I was totally lost because they didn't mention it until the middle of the match. I'm like, where the hell's where's my nanny at?
Yeah.
So I'm like, it's all good.
Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, this is, you know, people say that this isn't real. Things can happen. And unfortunately, accidents happen. And we do wish Nanny AC a quick recovery. Of course, we've had her on the show. So that was great. So, Nick, anything else before we get into the next match?
No, same thing. Just wish her the best. I mean, she was one of the nicest people, you know, when we were out there. I got to talk to her for a little while. You know, and same thing. It's a contact sport. Accidents, you know, people are going to get hurt. Because even the poster, I know what he's saying, is the poster even had all three of them on it. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it was what it was. But, you know, that's why I jokingly tell people, that's why it always says card subject to change at the bottom of the posters, you know, because things happen. So.
Right. So our next match is we have Sugar-Free Mario Vanger versus Stephen Ashburn, and the winner gets both the Rocky Mountain Pro Championship and the Charge Championship. Ashburn comes out with both the titles, because if you guys have been watching, he has stolen the RMP Championship and you know, comes out with them. And just a little side note, Mr. Fourth Row loves Ashburn's new outfit because it fits in with his entrance with the lines coming down. I love it. Great. Ashburn comes in, lays the belts down to draw the peripheral line in the sand. So Vanger is going to have to step up. One little thing I noticed, a little editing issue, is that Mario's entrance music lasts a little too long, and the match was already happening when they were starting to wrestle already. And of course, this was only viewable when you actually watched it back on Fight. Of course, live, I don't think we were able to tell that. Nick, any thoughts about this match?
I will tell you, one of the biggest things I'm a fan of, the comic book, obviously, me being a huge comic book guy, I completely dig the video package with Ash. That just, the whole Superman, the villain, the good guy, I was all in. I mean, I saw that video package actually prior to the show, and that, I was hooked. I'm like, I just can't get over it. I mean, again, am I partial because I'm a comic book guy? Absolutely. But even watching you getting in the Fight app, Rocky Mountain Pro is one of the, and I've said this to Matt personally, they're one of the best produced things. When they're doing it right, they're doing it very, very well. And that's, I think that package, that particular video package hooked me line sinker with Stephen Ashburn. So, but you know, we've had Mario on before, and he's a great, and I think he's got potential. I think he's got huge potential down the road, because he's another one that's got, you know, for to do like other things down the road. So,
yeah, exactly. Finn.
My understanding is, Ashburn is the heel coming into this. When I watched the video package, it felt like Mario Ventures was the heel coming in. When he's on his, I know he's, we talked to him, he's into that sugar-free movement, but I don't think he could be a face with the sugar-free movement. It doesn't really work. I mean, I like it. I like it. It is something you need to do, you know, cut some of that sugar out for reals. But I'm like, I'm always thinking Mario Ventures is still a heel. When he is sugar free, Mario Ventures. So that video package didn't set me off too well. Yeah, that big editing blunder. I was like, oh my gosh, come on, Rocky Mountain Pro, you guys are better than this. You know, cut the music. I thought they were going to play throughout the whole damn the whole match. But I do like this match. I do like the concept of, you know, coming out winning. The winner gets both belts. But then the commentators, I think, I don't know, the second half of the show, the commentators did get on my nerves a little bit. Because in Rocky Mountain Pro, you can win a title on a count out. But then they're confused if they could win the title on a count out because it's two titles up for grabs. I'm like, shouldn't the rule be the same? You would lose your title if you get counted out. So I guess I had to get confirmation, they said, and then they never came back to us with the confirmation. But I thought always you would lose your title on a count out or disqualification. I think there's no DQ, no disqualification match, but there was count outs. But I liked the match. I like what it represented, both belts. And Ashburn wants to be RMP champ again. So, you know, good match. Wrong guy won. But I like the match.
Yeah. So some of the highlights in the match that I saw was when they get battled on in the ring, the action does go outside the ring, and Mario gets cut on his forehead. And shortly after this, when they get back in the ring, Ashburn gets a little bit of that blood and he wipes it on his chest. And I was like, oh, nice carrier touch, a nice character touch for this. So I love that. They go battle back outside, and Vander hits the sugar-free slam, throws Ashburn into the ring barrier, he gets back into the ring, but Mario doesn't want to win, like you were just saying. He didn't want to win on the count-out. Then they actually swap places. Mario's on the outside, Ashburn's on the inside of the ring, and Ashburn does want the count-out. So, after that, Vander hits the excellent bottom, but his knee gives out before he can recover to make a pin. Rain of Ash gets hit by Ashburn. Mario kicks out. Ashburn takes off Mario's knee brace. They battle on for a little bit, And shortly after this, they roll up into the finish of the match where Mario hits the insulin spike 3 times on Ashburn, crawls over, lays over to arm, gets Ashburn for the win. So now Mario Venger is the dual RMP charged champion. And, oh, they spelled duel wrong unless they were actually dueling fighting, but then they even spelled that duel fighting wrong too. Nick, any other thoughts about this match?
Okay, first of all, character development-wise, Steven Ashburn, phenomenal job in this match, by the way. Like you said, the rubbing the blood. It's kind of a crazy thing. I know we referenced back, Anaya versus Rolls Royce Isaac, each for me to say. Best match on the card, best worked match on this card actually possibly was this one. Because, going for the knee, the bad knee of Mario, pretty consistently taking the brace off, character development throughout, the heel, Steven Ashburn, just played it very well. Mario busted open, which kind of surprised me, by the way. We'll get to that if you want to in a minute. I was surprised that he got busted open in this match. But I just thought progressive-wise, working a match, like if you sat down in a seminar and heard, like, this is how you work a match, I think this is probably the best one of the night as far as the way a story, the story of the match. Maybe that's a better way what I'm trying to say. The right guy won, I think. I know, Finn, you said maybe the wrong guy. But in the long term, I think there's probably a reason there. But Ashburn, again, what I love about the heel that he came out and played and the magic to the, I saved it for this reason, the character development of the comic book. The great thing about a true comic book villain is they believe they're right. They don't believe that a good comic book villain doesn't believe he's the bad guy. He thinks he's misunderstood, and just kind of that whole thing with Ashburn is he just wants to be the champion. I mean, by any means necessary. Then you can see it with the "I'll take the count out" win, where Mario wouldn't. So that was why I meant like the heel acted like a heel, babyface acted like a babyface. So storyline wise, I felt like this match was probably the best on the card.
The only thing I'm saying is Tyler Stinson won earlier, so he gets a title shot.
Yes.
Wasn't Tyler Stinson and Ashburn a tag team?
Yes.
So that's like, okay, this would make sense if he won. Now the former tag team champions or tag team are going after each other for the main title. And I'm like, Mario Vandross could move, down or up or wherever he's going to go. So just to progress another storyline. Now we don't know. Now it's going to be Stinson versus Vandross, the same style of guy, but it's a face versus a face. So that's the only reason I think the wrong guy. Looking at the match before, I think the wrong guy won. If this is a single, isolated match, the right guy won. Mario Vandross won. It was great for him to redeem himself. But looking at the whole show, I think Mario Vandross should have lost to progress Stinson versus Ashburn for next season or, whatever, for the next show.
Yeah, and I see it actually can go both ways because now that Stinson has the shot at Shocktober for the Rocky Mountain Pro Championship, possibly Vanger could lose and then Steven Ashburn would have the championship and Ashburn still could come in because Vanger will still have the charge championship. Ashburn could come in saying, this is what I've been going after all along. And they can pick back up on that the balance breakup. So it can go either way. I see. Nick,
The other magic nobody's mentioned yet.
Yeah.
Let's see a heel Tyler Stinson run. I mean, we're talking about mixing it up and learning different things and working different styles. I think he could be a good bad guy. So that it'd be a good way to go if it were me. I mean, it would be something just to try, try different. I don't know that the crowd would buy it because they love him, but my thing I think he could pull it off, with his style. I think he could pull it off.
Yeah. I think so. Finn, anything else?
No, that's all. It's, Let's move it on. Let's get to the main event.
Okay, all right. Our main event, final match of the Milestone 7. We have Mercury Matt Yaden versus Hoodlum in the steel cage match. Stipulations are, if Yaden loses, he loses control over Rocky Mountain Pro. If Hoodie loses, he loses his control over the Pro Wrestling Academy. And Titus threw out his ironclad contract, easy for me to say, and he can be fired from his CEO position in Rocky Mountain Pro. So they both make their way into the ring. So they start going. I didn't really have anything at the beginning of this match. Finn, do you have anything notable at the beginning of this match?
Oh, man. Where the hell did they get this cage from? Man, this is a bad cage. You can see, like, it wasn't smoothly put out. Some pieces were overlapping. It's like, oh, come on, man. But I'm glad they had a great in-ring match. I got glad there's a lot of stakes, you know, a lot of stuff on the line in this match. Because once in a while, I forgot about how ugly this cage was. The doors at the bottom, and they had the. I do like they explained. The referee didn't. I see the referee messed up slightly, or the announcer, I mean. The only way you can win is if you climb over, if you pin your opponent. But what happens to submitting them? Like, what about submissions? Well, I guess that's a given. But except for the cage, oh, you know, I have a fine eye for stuff like that. And like, but it was a good match. I like the opening. I like everything, all the stakes and everything. So,
Nick, your thoughts?
Same thing. I mean, it's, you know, it's got to be the main event. It's control of the company. Titus's career is, you know, essentially on the line. We can say he might be fired. We're like, no, he's going to get fired. Trust me. If Matt wins, you know, then yeah, he's gone. So it was basically the culmination of everything they've been working, you know, over these seasons. And, you know, Matt can basically, you know, get back control of the company. And, you know, if not, then he's essentially gone. So I always jokingly said it's essentially a loser leave town match for Yaden and Titus. Just has a guy working the match for him, essentially.
Right, exactly. So towards the beginning of this match, Hoodie gets into a little bit of trouble, and Titus is calling a timeout. I think at the time, I was like, there's no timeouts in wrestling? What the hell, you know? After that, Hoodie hits a thunderous elbow on Yaden from the ropes, and shortly after that, Titus throws down his jacket and enters the ring, but goes after Yaden, but Yaden kind of dodges him and takes him down, hits him in the knee. Titus gets back up, and Yaden hits the Mercury Rising on Machiavelli. Yaden is climbing the ropes a little bit, and Hoodie throws Titus into the ropes, making Matt fall onto the ropes. And then, shortly after this, Anaya hits the ring. And he's wearing a Mercury Pro Wrestling Academy shirt. So we're like, oh, he's here to help Yaden, you know, because of all the stuff that's been happening with the little issues in the Left Coast Gorillas. But we get the swerve. He takes off that shirt. Underneath is the Left Coast Gorilla Hit the Pose shirt. So he hits Yaden, gets out of the ring. But Matt actually kicks out of the pin. Hoodlum climbs the cage, but instead of escaping, decides to go ahead and dive onto Yaden. Misses, and Yaden gets back up, falls onto Hoodie, puts the arm over for the pin and the win. Nick, any other thoughts about the details of the match?
A couple things I want to mention. That kind of the reference earlier to the feel-good moment of Anaya winning, walking around the ring with his daughter, and then, of course, we thought this would, you know, he comes out, we think, oh, great, he's going to help Matt. And then, of course, he does not. He's still with his brother, obviously. And so that there's that. Speaking of taking the shirts off, by the way, I just want to say Matt Yaden got in great shape for this match. I want to throw that out there because a lot of people were you know, like they joked about it and referenced it, you know, as far as being in shape for the match and things like that. So shout outs to Matt for I know he worked really hard to get in shape for this match. And yeah, I thought he did a really good job because everybody thought he was going to wrestle in the shirt and he did not. But so he got back in great shape. As far as all the, you know, we knew with as large as the stakes were, the cage wasn't going to keep everybody out. All the moving parts were going to get, you know, the, I don't like to say smoke and mirrors, but that's what they call it. You know, the smoke and mirrors of Titus getting involved and Anaya getting involved. But, you know, it was a cage. I mean, that's it. I mean, there were the battle that they put on. It's not a wrestling clinic. It was a fight for the company.
Yeah. Like I say with Anaya. That was like, okay, why is he going to hit him? This makes no sense for what happened earlier, where he broke off. He thinks he's the Jannetty of the tag team, but he sides with his brother. If he would have hit Matt Yaden, took off the shirt, hit Matt Yaden, threw the shirt on Matt Yaden, turned around, hit his brother, took off their shirt and threw it on him, so he has no affiliation. He doesn't care which way this company goes. He doesn't care, you know. He's out for himself now. That makes a little bit more sense, but he resides with his brother after, you know, you can see it coming, but he should have did the turn on both to, you know, make it a little bit even. And you said Hoodlum dove. He didn't die. he fell. he fell. Holy crap.
What's the old storyline, it's falling with style or something.
That was pretty,
yeah. I was trying to keep a little bit of the dive controversy that was on Twitter for a little bit, but you know.
Oh, no, gotta dive.
Hey, let me. I'm gonna ask a question because I know I just is to come back to a little bit to the Anaya thing. Do you have any brothers? Or any, are you only kid or child's brother? Or do you have any brothers?
I have a younger sister, 2 years.
Yeah, I got younger brothers.
Okay, well, see, there you go. That's the key thing. You're the older brother. I'm the baby of six. So I can totally relate to what Anaya did in that match. And there's something about that. It's kind of hard to explain, but it, you know, that storyline that they've had running with those two for a while connected to home personally, because I know what it's like to be the little brother. You will do anything and you will do absolutely anything to prove yourself to your big brothers. And what he did was he, earlier in that card, he defeated Rolls-Royce. In that match, he can, you know, the angle that they can run is he did that to prove himself to his brother. Because remember, that's kind of what they were going with all season, correct?
Right.
He finally does that. And now that he has done that, he's proven his brother wrong. Blood is still thicker than water. He's going back to his brother. Because they're...
Yeah. But I tell my brothers, if you get in a fight with someone, I'm going to whoop their ass. I'm going to turn around and whoop your ass because I had to whoop their ass to save you. So if you're going to get your ass whooped, you're going to get your ass whooped twice in one night. So if you're going to get in a fight, you're getting in two fights. Don't even worry about it. And if you lose that fight, I'm kicking your ass anyway. So I got to kick his ass for beating you up. So you're going to get beat up all night for fighting. So, I get it. If it was my younger brother would do the same, you know, come in to help me no matter what we went through.
Yeah,
but I'd be like, you know, being an older brother, I'd have been like, you know, fuck this.
I mean by that. It's because it's the reversal of the process. Yeah. You're the older brother. The younger brother, I've got three older brothers. And and it's funny. You go through your entire, like, adolescent life. I have a brother that's 7 years older than me. And I always remember things of, like, being, like, 8 and 9 years old, you know, trying to prove yourself to your 15 and 16-year-old brother that, you're good enough to hang with them. And that's essentially what the storyline could go. I proved myself early in the card, but now I'm coming back home, and now we're back together.
Yeah, and they need to be together anyway. But just to, you know, like, you know, I just to hit them, like, you know, fuck you too. I don't care about. I care enough to let you win, but I don't care enough to have you win. But they're still there. But poor Machiavelli, I was pushing for him all the way. Knew he wasn't going to win. There's no way in hell he was going to win. But man, that guy's good. He's a good guy. I hope he's fired, but I hope he can be rehired, maybe. But with a contract that he's able to be fired, he has to be a little bit more, you know, a little bit less of what he's doing. But he's a we had him on the show. He's great. He's a wrestler's wrestler. He's a great manager. He's a good dude. I like his message he's pushing out. Yeah. So I hope he's not gone. And if he is, not gone for long.
Yeah, maybe if I can be so bold and just as a maybe a little bit of a tribute here in the heart, maybe he can because of recent passing away, maybe he can weasel himself back in.
Yeah.
He's a great mind for the business. I had a pleasure of sitting, and talking to him several times that weekend. And like you said, I mean, great mind for the business. But, I with him losing, I think you may have seen the last of Titus.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Yeah, hard to say. So we end up the end of the match. The now reopened Mercury Pro Wrestling Academy students come out. And Yaden tells them it's time to take out the trash. Oh, and by the way, also, Titus, you're fired. So they get him out in the ring. The students come out, cheer up Yaden. Yaden takes a victory lap. And that's the end of season 2 of Rocky Mountain Pro. Finn, any final thoughts? Any thoughts about how the ring, general overall thoughts, ring looked, you said about the cage. I mean, I have one thing, and that's just the newly revamped entryway that they did for Milestone. Of course, saw it at the VIP meet and greet, and I was like, they just kind of changed it up for the event, so I thought that was great. They're continuing to use it that way, so now we can have faces going one way and heels go the other way when they exit. So I really loved that. So, Finn?
Okay, doing a little nitpicking, which I have to do. It still look great. Rocky Mountain Pro look great. The hard camera side, they should not show it. I caught a couple of glimpses of it, and it was bare. It was, I guess they put everyone on one side or on each side. I seen a couple of shots of that, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys need to avoid showing that side. There was not a lot of people. I don't think there's anyone on that side. So that kind of stunk. But the cage looked bad. Slightly editing, but that happens. This is a big show. It's a 3-hour show. It's totally understandable. But all in all, I mean, like I said, Rocky Mountain Pro is not my number two, but it is somehow, some way, it is number two, the number two wrestling promotion on Fight. And I see why. It's a great promotion, great story. A lot of stuff, a lot of questions leading into next year. I do like that. With Nanny AC going after the title, the Stefan, the guy winning the contract. So a lot of stuff going into season 2, which is the next season, season 3, I imagine. So I do like the storyline progression with that. What's going to happen to the Gorillas now, the West Coast Gorillas now, that they are together, but they lost their main mouthpiece. So, what happens to the four-part cartel now? So, I can't wait for the next season to find out these stories and such.
Nick?
I 100% agree. That's the great thing about Milestone was that it ended a lot of feuds. It's how we say it's the show where feuds go to end. And then, but they set up subtly little questions moving into season 3, like you said. Like, where does Curtis Cole and Humphrey Jacobs go? Does Cole move on, or does Cole get a partner and Jacobs gets a partner, or does Jacobs throw the titles down because he doesn't want any part of them? There's so many things they can go with that. Tyler Stinson obviously is getting the shot at Mario at Shocktober. It's things like that. I mean, Nanny coming back. So she'll be back hopefully, and then we get her, following up with Alligato. I think the cool thing about the end of the main event is that I think we, because, if my biggest thing with if Hoodie wins, we go into season 3, and it's a continuation of Matt Yaden versus Titus and his group, right? Now that book is closed. We can move on, and we can find a new overlying story that we can kind of move on and start focusing on Mario and, all the things we've already talked about is we can kind of focus on those and not kind of come back to the default Titus versus, Matt Yaden and the control of the company thing. So I think it's a lot of potential where they're heading. I love the show. I mean, it was, and I told Matt, it was well worth the 21-hour drive to come see. I had an absolute blast all weekend. The whole weekend was a great thing with the seminars, the VIP meet and greet, all of that stuff. So I get where they're the number two. I mean, I watch, you know, enough stuff on the Fight app that I'm like, yeah, there's a reason they're number two. I mean, Ring of Honor is number one just because of the name. I'm honest. Yeah. It's just because of the name. We pushed the hell out of Rocky Mountain Pro because I tell people all the time it's produced pretty well. I mean, is it perfect? No, but I mean, it is what it is. I mean, they have, you know, there's a budget, right? With what budget they're working with, I think they probably get the most out of every dollar they put into their promotion.
Right. Yeah, that's correct. I'm still pushing for championship wrestling from Hollywood, but okay.
We can do a whole, by the way, just not to plug, but on one of the shows we just cut, we actually had a big discussion about championship wrestling from Hollywood and some of the changes coming, you know, in the future with them. And but right now, that's just, you know, Rocky Mountain Pro to me is, you know, everybody knows, I think Russo's coming back to work for them. So I think that'll push them a little bit more, you know. Say what you want, whether you're a Russo guy or not, you can tell when he's producing segments, you know, in Rocky Mountain Pro. When he's not, you can tell the difference.
Yeah. Well, you know, Finn, what do I say about Russo? Love him, hate him, you definitely know him.
Yeah. But, Nick, so tell us a little bit more about your podcast group and nation and all that good stuff.
We are the Tapped Out Wrestling Podcast Network. We do daily shows. Every day there's something dropping, whether it be, we have, you know, recap shows, of course, you know, news shows, call them what you will. We cover WWE, we cover Ring of Honor, NXT, Impact. We talk a lot about Rocky Mountain Pro, the guys on Fight. You know, we throw it out there, the Fight app. I mean, we're big fans, obviously. We're enough so that we're an affiliate with those guys. I mean, we promote them the heck out of them. So we always tell everybody, definitely check them out. You can reach us. I mean, there's a couple ways. You can always follow us on Twitter @TappedOutPod. By the way, @TappedOutPod is pretty much our thing across the board. Snapchat, Instagram, et cetera, et cetera. You know, Facebook, Tapped Out Wrestling Podcast Network. Our website is TappedOutWrestlingPodcast.com. The schedule's on the left, you know, and then you can download everything. But we're, of course, you can always find us on the usual suspects, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Player FM, TuneIn Radio. Our big coup that we're really happy about now is about a couple weeks ago, we finally, you would not be shocked at how hard it is to actually get on iHeartRadio. I was like, but we are finally on iHeartRadio as well. So definitely check us out there as well, because that was a big win for us. But other than that, man, I mean, we're just, you know, daily we're churning out interviews and, you know, recaps and stuff. And, it ranges from guys, you know, we've interviewed Ron Fuller, Bob Armstrong, Tommy Rich, you know, legends and stuff. But we'll go down, man. We're trying to give guys breaks as well. I mean, we've had, obviously, you know, Curtis Cole, Humphrey Jacobs, Ali Gatto, Matt Yaden, Filter, you know, Tyler Stinson. And we just hit indie scenes as well. Local. We just had a great show. We're just trying to give everybody a voice to get out there and promote. That's kind of the way we look at it. It's just not just about chasing, you know, the big name. It's a giving guys a break as well.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, that's one of the reasons, you know, that's how we met, is through Fight, you know. So, you know, I mean, that's good. But we're on the brand new Trendy Topics Network, where we got a bunch of cool shows also here to listen to. We'll run through these really quick. My show, my favorite show, because it's obviously my show, that's Loot Chat, where I chat all about Lucha Underground. We got Finn in the NYC, where me and Romeda Joe, we cover the Mae Young Classic. I don't know about this one, if we're going to do one this week. It's going to be Odds On, where I'm going to give you the odds on, what pay-per-view is this?
Hell in the Cell.
Hell in the Cell. So we're going to give you the betting odds on Hell in the Cell. I'm going to give you one of my classic picks so you could you can win some of your matches. We got European Uppercut, European Perspective of American Pro Wrestling, Spanish Announce Table from Spanish Announce Table Studios in Kansas City. We got Wrestling Cheers with Heavy Set, who talks about the Ohio wrestling scene. We also have Heavy Set in Hanging with Heavy, as he just talks about how it is hanging with him. get the CFL Easy Picks, Legends of Siren FM, Eurovision Showcase, the Tux Experience, All Beers Inside, STFUTTN at the Movies, where random podcasters of the Trinity Topics Network will be talking about the movies they went to, which is pretty cool because you get a different perspective every time because everyone wants to talk about a different movie that they have watched. Tim and Tom, Try Time with Cal Valentine's, Scrabble Cast, and so much, much, and more. But that is at the brand new Trending Topics Network. We are What's on Fight. You find us the same. We have our own whatsonfight.com. We're on Twitter. And, find Mr. Fourth Row where he's sitting, usually never in the fourth row anymore. He's always in a different seat. So
that is true. So, Nick, we really appreciate you coming on, talking Milestone 7 with us.
My pleasure, man. I mean, like I said, I had such a great time at this this event all weekend, and shout out to Matt, all the guys there. I tell people all the time, and I mentioned it on our show as well. We could not have asked for a better host. I mean, they opened their arms up, and they treated us so well that I cannot put them over enough.
All right. Well, so, Ben, I think we're going to change it up here just a little bit. Well, I'm done fighting with Milestone 7 this week. What about you?
Looks like I am done fighting with Milestone 7 as well. And, shit, usually this part.
So that's all we have to fight about this time. So until next time, fight on.
That's right. Times of war and insanity, you should fight for your destiny. When they try to destroy your home, there is only one way to go. Get a life for yourself, blame a game, seek your revenge. Get it right, rule the night, break the chain, show them you care. Fight forever. When you're the blinding light, stand together. Forever free and right. Fight forever. All over me, I hitch right back, I am hard as steel. I'm a winner and that's for sure. Break the law and unlock the doors. Get a life for yourself, blame a game, seek your revenge. Get it right, rule the night, break the chain, show them you care. Fight forever. When you're the blinding light, stand together. Raise your voices high. Fight forever. Always side by side. Stand together. Forever free and right. Fight forever. Fight for